Oh, when you knock me down in the jacuzzi, is that what you want to tell? No, but anyhow, it's good to be here, folks. It really, really is good to be here. Let me ask you a question. What did you do to your pastor? I mean, why? You must have did something really bad that you would have, that he would stick you with white lightning during the morning as Gary Sowers and chocolate thunder at night. Amen. You guys must have really, really messed up. But anyhow, good thing I brought brown sugar with me. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be able to get in tonight, right? Amen. But anyhow, it's always a blessing to be here. And I understand that your pastor's on vacation. You know, I tell you, I introduced him, me and Yvonne introduced him to that spot down in, down in Pennsylvania a few years ago. And now he makes it a yearly thing. I was talking to Slava today. He was filming our service this morning. And I said, hey, how come you're not with the pastor, man? I thought you guys were going to Pennsylvania. He said, well, what happens is they take the first weekend by themselves, you know, the pastor and his wife, and we come down the next day. So I guess they're going to be heading down that way next week. If you ever get a chance to go down there to that bed and breakfast, man, take advantage of it. John, have you ever been down there?
I've been there twice.
Oh, well, praise the Lord. Well, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. All right. Let's open in prayer. Father, you know I've got a great burden in my heart. Lord, for myself. Lord, for the better part of the body of Christ. Lord, for my children, probably most especially. And my burden is this. Lord, you said that we can discern the weather, but can we not discern the signs of the times? Lord, you're coming back soon. And my burden, Lord, is, I believe, pretty much the same as yours. That there's not many people that's going to be absolutely ready. And sometimes, Lord, I even question that my own personal life. Am I ready for your return? I mean, I'm ready to get out of here. Lord, I'm ready for the new body. Lord, your word is right when it says that we groan together in pain, waiting for the redemption of the body. I'm ready for that new body. But Lord, I would rather be like Paul. And I would rather live in my life in light of eternity, that you can come back at any moment. Paul said that there's a reward, a crown for those who live that way, a crown of righteousness for those who can't wait for your appearing because they love you so much. God, that's where I want to be. And I'm not exactly there yet. Oh, I have fleeting moments of that. But I want you to return. I want to be longing for you. And so I pray, dear God, as I preach this message and teach this message, and Lord, maybe a different way, because I'd really love to get some interaction. Father, I'm humbled, Lord, not only with the opportunity of preaching your word, but who you've blessed me opportunity to preach to. These folks have been under some very good teaching and preaching of the word. They just finished the whole theme, a year's theme, on the King is coming. So I would imagine that they know more about the subject than I do. But Lord, I just hope, dear God, that even as a brother prayed earlier, that Lord, you would help me, Lord, to just challenge their hearts and my own and help us to take inventory and see, dear God, whether we're absolutely ready for your coming. I only have 2 points that I want to kind of share tonight. Awake and abide. Now help me, Lord, I'm not worthy. I know you resist the proud, you give grace to the humble, so I'm counting on you, Lord, to speak to me and through me tonight, to your children. In Christ's name, amen. I was looking for a song here. and I don't see it. It's maybe it's listed a different way. It will be worth it all. Oft times a day seems. Is there another title for that? Would someone help me off time if it's in here? It's not. I'll sing one verse. Oft times this day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. Will you sing it with me, sister? You know the words? You know what? Let me do this. I'm at home, right? I forgot. I won't keep you long. I mean, if I get started sooner or later. Oft times the day seems long to him. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. And hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going to see the King. No more crying there, and we are going to see the King. And hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there, we are going to see the King. No more dying there, and we are going to see the King. No more dying there, and we are going to see the King. And hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Let me ask you a question, brethren. Do you feel like you're more ready for the Lord to come back after a year of lessons and messages and teachings on the King is coming? After a year of that? I mean, do you feel as though you're absolutely ready? You can't wait. I mean, you got your shouting shoes on and you can't wait for the Lord to come back because you know that you're going to be absolutely ready. You know that you're going to be confident and unashamed when he comes. I wish I could say amen. Because I didn't have that theme for a year. I didn't have that teaching. I mean, just spoon-fed me for a year. I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Even as I said in my prayer, I'm concerned. I'm concerned for my children. I'm even more concerned for my grandchildren. I'm concerned. I'm concerned for the body of Christ as a whole because they're not as confident as the folks are here. I mean, after a whole year. Absolutely. When he comes, you can't wait for him to come, not so much so that you can get out of this place. And that, I mean, that's a bonus. Because you love him so much. You're not concerned and you're confident because unlike most people, you live your life in light of eternity. As if Christ would come back at any moment. I mean, if he were to come through these doors right now. I mean, you live your life the way Paul said that you need to live your life before he comes back. Now, I don't know if you're all of that confident. We ought to be. So why don't we do this tonight? Why don't we just kind of take inventory? And look at some of the things that Paul says that we have to do to be absolutely ready when Jesus comes back. Because if you're like me, one day I'm ready, and the next day I'm not so ready. Amen? Sometimes I'm walking in the Spirit, And unfortunately, there's times where I'm not walking in the Spirit. I want to start with a series of questions. First, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. And I'm going to ask these questions. I want you to answer. I want some interaction tonight. Can we do that? I mean, can we have a Bible study? Is that all right? Cool. Matthew chapter 24. Let's start in verse, Jesus talking about his second coming. And this reference is basically, I believe, in reference to after the tribulation. But how many of you know that he's coming back before then as well? And before I make any other comments about that, because we're going to cover that in our questions, and I'm looking for answers from you, but I would like to start here in verse 44. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, and to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A few questions I'd like to ask you in reference to that portion of scripture and others. First question is this: who is talking in this portion of scripture, and to whom is he talking to? Who is talking? That's the question. Who's talking? All right, who is he talking to? I don't want you to get down into real deep theology on me. I want you to be right. But whom is he talking to? I'm sorry? His disciples, right? Does that include us? Okay. All right. When is he coming? Before or after the tribulation? Before. Okay, and after. Okay, good, we're doing good so far. No trick questions, you know, I just want to get you thinking. Okay, where is he coming to meet his saints? You might have to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, you know. But where is he coming to meet his saints? In the clouds. You guys know a whole lot of stuff. He's coming to meet his saints in the clouds. Now, that's before the tribulation, right? Okay, he's coming to meet us in the clouds. All right, now, why is he coming to meet us in the clouds? I'm sorry, why is he coming? Wait, did I get out of sequence here with my questions? Okay, no. Why is he coming? He's calling to call us home. Amen? Maybe we ought to read that portion of scripture. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You're saying, boy, these questions are elementary. And they are. You know, the greatest truths, I believe, are the simplest ones in the Word of God. Amen? The ones that he wants us to even understand. For example, he that has the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you know that you have eternal life? Simple truth. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. All one syllable words, easy to understand. But one of the greatest truths in all of God's word in reference to assurance of salvation. Amen? How do you know you have eternal life? Well, do you have the Son? Well, you've got eternal life. If you don't have the Son, then you don't have eternal life. Simple truths. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Give me a second. John, why don't you read that for me? Start in verse 15. So he's going to come with a trump, a shout, and he's going to call us up, and he's going to say, come up hither. Amen? And I believe in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, and we're going to get our glorified bodies. Amen? I mean, how else are we going to be able to travel like that? Amen? And so he's going to meet us in the air. He's going to call us up. Are you ready? Are you ready for your departure? You know what follows after that. I believe that the Bema seat judgment of the saints is going to follow that. Amen. Now, you're not going to suffer a loss, but you can suffer the loss of rewards or crowns that you can get or we should be working towards right now, today. Amen. He's going to wipe her. Eventually, he's going to wipe her all tears from our eyes and everything. Amen. And we're going to be serving with him up in glory until he comes back at the end of tribulation to do battle. Amen. Now, here's a question, the million-dollar question. How can we be absolutely ready when the Lord comes back? Now, you said that you're ready. And I'm glad that you feel that you're ready. I mean, I would expect you to be ready after 366 days of that theme. And knowing your pastor, the way he exhausts things and how he hits them at different levels and different ways, then I'm sure you guys have been well taught in this whole concept, the King is coming. Amen. And so as we look at this portion of scripture, and by the way, the title of the message is The King is Coming. And I mistakenly thought that this is the theme that you had last year, but somebody told me, no, that was last year's theme, but it's still a good theme. Amen. And it's a good opportunity for us to take inventory because we want to make sure when he comes that he doesn't come for us as a thief in the night when we're not looking for him to come. But we want to be like the Apostle Paul and gain the award or the crown of righteousness that he promised to those who love his appearing, can't wait till he comes back, not just so that we can get out of here, not just so that we can get something from him, but primarily because we love to see him. We love him so much. We can't wait for him to come back. And we've been taught how to live our lives in light of eternity, the way the apostles did. So our text is Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. The thoughts, once again, is taking inventory. And I want to kind of share two thoughts with you. I know typically us preachers, we like to share three. But I'm only going to share two. And the first one is this, basically, is awake. And the second one is abide. Romans chapter 13, if you'll turn with me there, please. Very familiar portion of scripture. And I'm sure that Pastor Rich spoke on this at least once or twice last year. This portion of scripture. When you get this, say amen. And then knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first, than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And then knowing the time, what do you think he's making reference here to? Paul, as we take inventory, said we need to know the time. The time, what is he making reference to here? Don't be shy. And knowing the time that the time of the Lord's return, and knowing what time it is, amen. We're talking about a man who lived in light of eternity. I mean, in light of the rapture, who thought the rapture could take place before he died. Amen. I believe that he thought that. Amen. That's 2,000 years later, and we can be like the scoffers over in 2 Peter chapter 3, who said, listen, the Lord's been promised to come back for 2,000 years. He hasn't come back yet. There's a lot of people, probably more people believe that than those of us who believe that he's coming. Now, the world knows that something's about to happen. They can't put their finger on it. And we need to be ready to tell them. We need to take advantage of this opportunity and say, hey, listen, I can tell you exactly what's going on. You know, all of this is going on in the world today. All this trouble is being prophesied. It's been prophesied already. And it's just a sign of the times that the Lord is coming back very, very soon. It's time. I said, well, he said that 2,000 years ago. Well, you can tell them, but listen, it's nearer now than it ever was before if it was 2,000 years ago. God, it's impossible for God to lie. It must be a reason why he hasn't come back yet. And I know the reason. That the long-suffering, the Lord, is salvation. He wants more people to get saved before he comes back. Because when he does, all hell is going to break loose on earth. You know, knowing the time, you know, the age, we live in the age of grace. Well, that time period is almost over. It's going to be more difficult for people to get saved during the tribulation. So he says, and knowing the time, that now it is high time. What does that mean, it's high time? Somebody help me. Seriously, I need help with this. What does it mean, it's high time? What's another way of saying that? It's about time. It's about time, amen? High time. Someone else? Urgent. It's urgent. Okay, someone else? The time is now. Y'all play along with me on this. Amen. So it's high time. Time to do what? Wake out of sleep. You know, that's one of the prayers that I pray every day for Rochester. How many of you know that there was a time when Rochester was renowned for having had Finney come through, and God used him to revive Rochester? I don't know what kind of effect it, I mean, Buffalo being as close to Rochester, what kind of effect it had on Buffalo, but it had a profound effect in Rochester. You know, bars were being closed, people were getting saved, and the things that occur when there's a genuine revival going on, awakening going on, a visitation from God. You know, I often pray for Rochester, one of the most violent little cities in our country. And you folks have had your share of violence, especially with the mass murders over in the Tops Market a few months ago. But I pray daily for a visitation from God. I pray for a revival. I pray for an awakening. Because people are sleeping. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians are asleep. They're not awake. A lot of Christians are, especially in our country, where we have more than most other Christians around the world. And as a result of having more than most, we don't always see a need for the Lord. But God is faithful. He'll create opportunities or needs for us to really be in prayer. I mean, COVID is one, and he's not done with that yet. You know, people wonder, what's the antidote for COVID? Well, the antidote is, if my people, which are called by my name, who would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll bring healing. You know, the conclusion I come to is, we're not humble yet, not humble enough yet. Somebody help me out. Amen. But it's high time. The day is far spent. Our redemption, our salvation is nearer than when we first believe. We need to take inventory. Am I awake or am I asleep? Am I apathetic about things that are going on? Do I have a ho-hum attitude? Or am I doing those things that I need to be doing, living as if the Lord can come back at any moment? Let me ask you this. What don't you want to be doing when the Lord comes back? What program don't you want to be watching? What ministry do you want to be involved in? Go ahead, answer. You want to be in him? You don't want to be watching CNN. Listen, I don't even want to watch the other one. I'm up to here with the conservative stations and with the liberal stations. Amen? I'm up to here with all the division that Satan is using, or the spirit of division that he's using to cause people to be more and more divided. Are you sleeping? Are you awake? Are you lukewarm, or are you on fire? Do you have a real passion for souls? Boy, I had to confess the other day. I said, Lord, you know, I call myself an evangelist. How come I don't have a greater burden for souls? It's not his fault, is it? I said, I need to take inventory. Am I asleep? We're talking about things that Paul said that we need to do to be ready when the Lord comes back. And the first thing he says, as we look at this portion of Scripture again, and that knowing the time, do we know what time it is? That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation, or our redemption, nearer than when we believe. He says we need to cast off some things and to put some things on. The night is far spent, almost gone. The day is at hand. The day of Christ. Amen? The day of the rapture. John, what do you make of that? The works of darkness. What is darkness a picture of in the Bible? Sin. Cast off the works of darkness. I mean, don't let it cleave to you. I mean, you know, we live in a world of darkness, man. And if you're not careful, it will cleave to you. I mean, by nature, we love sin because sin is pleasurable for a season. Not for nothing. There's some third world countries, and they're no better than us. But they call us the great Satan. Because a lot of the things that the world is influenced by come from the United States. Darkness. You know, when I think of darkness, one of the first verses that come to mind. Be careful, Yvonne. I told you, don't mess with a preacher when he's preaching. Lord, have mercy. Okay, I need some help up here. You can still hear me, huh? I'll just have to hold this. I had to be more disciplined. Okay, Yvonne, don't mess with me now. All right, here we go. Look at, keep your finger here and turn over the book of 1 John. This then, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Listen, sin is a part of our life. Amen? We're born with a sin nature. So it's easy for us by nature to walk in darkness or walk in sin. And the moments that we're walking in darkness, the moments that we're having fellowship with sin, we're out of fellowship with God. Don't kid yourself. God hates sin because sin is deadly. The wages of sin is death. And sin will destroy you spiritually. Sin will destroy you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, socially, your relationship with God. And that's why Paul said, listen, if you want to be ready when the Lord comes back, you have to make sure that you get the rubbish out. You cast off the works of darkness. You denounce that stuff, man. Don't let sin cleave unto you. Whatever the enemy influences you with. How many of you know he wants to influence you with the things of the world? Love not the world, neither the things of the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and not of the Father, but of the world, and the world passed away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Leave the things of the world alone. Listen, there's enough excitement, there's enough joy in the Lord than to be bamboozled by the enemy as he would try to focus us with the things of the world. Cast off the works of darkness. Cast it down. I like that verse, and I pray this every day. I pray this for you folks when I pray for your pastor. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into obedience and I quote that verse every day in prayer. Maybe Lord wants you to look at it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into obedience and captivity of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. You know, when wicked thoughts come my way, I try to cast them down right away before they get rooted. And sometimes those thoughts, They don't come from the outside. Sometimes they come from the outside. But the ones that worried me the most are the ones that come from my wicked heart. Casting down imaginations. Casting down the works of darkness. We're taking inventory. Listen, if we're not doing that, then we're not going to be absolutely ready when the Lord comes back. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to help you here today. And like I said, you know, you guys are scholars, and, you know, I'm picking on you a little bit. And you had a year of this theme, the King is coming, and you're ready. More ready than most. But we have to make sure it's more than just a head knowledge. It's a life experience. Don't play with sin. Don't play with darkness. The devil is a prince of darkness. And if he can't influence, he would try to influence you through the world, the kingdoms of this world, the philosophy of this world, the doctrines of this world. He destroyed our kids with it. He'll try to influence you with the sin nature that you were born with. And try to bring you to a place where you compromise and you call evil good and good evil. I mean, isn't that running rampant today? There's going to come a time where even the very elect are going to be deceived. I think a lot of it's happening now. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to encourage us tonight. Does that sound encouraging? I'm trying to encourage this portion of the body of Christ. I'm trying to encourage myself, because I'm not only speaking to you, the Spirit of God is speaking to me too. Tony, how well are you doing in this area? You want to be ready when I come? Take inventory, son. Cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us put on the armor of light. You got light and you got darkness. What do you think this reference is here to the armor of light? The armor of light. Jesus is light. Jesus is light. Okay. The armor of light. What do you think of when you think of armor? How about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10? Through 18. Yep. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and his power and of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, putting on the helmet that we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and put on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When he talks about praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, by the Spirit, with the Spirit, the armor of light is the armor of God, which is the written word of God. God wants us to adorn that word. And if we're going to be ready when he comes, and we need to understand what that means. Put on the armor of light, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, all of which is the word of God. You got to make sure you got that armor on. Because Satan's going to try to keep you in the dark. I'm taking armor. Are you intentionally putting that armor on every day and keeping it on? I pray that too for you. Almost daily. And I know you folks are praying for me. Put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day. John, when I think about that portion of scripture, I think about Ephesians chapter, where it talks about walk, redeeming the time. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. In other words, you know, God wants us to be good stewards of our time. We need to know how we're spending instead of wasting God's time. How many of you know that I believe, and help me out this, Dan, or somebody. I've been taught to believe that our greatest resource that God has given us is our time, because our time is our life. And God wants us to walk. He wants us to be wise with our time. He wants us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom. God really wants us to schedule things and watch him make changes. Schedule. But don't waste time. Don't waste your life. Invest in the kingdom of God and the things of God. Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in fellowship? This is another thing I pray. You know, I've taken this song and I've made it a prayer. And you've heard me pray this song. Lord, help us to take time to be holy, to speak off with you, Lord, abide in you always and feed on your word, to make friends with God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing your blessing to seek. Help us to take time to be holy. The world rushes on. To spend much time in secret with you alone, because by looking to Jesus, like him shall we be. Our friends and my conduct, their likeness shall see. Help us to take time to be holy by letting you be our guide and run not before you, whatever betide. In joy and sorrow, still follow you, Lord, and keep trusting in your word. Help us to take time to be holy by being calm in our soul, each thought and each motive beneath you. Help us to abide in you, Lord, to rest in you, to trust in you, to depend on you, especially in these last days, so that we'll be confident and unashamed when you return. You promised that. I don't know, you can take your own inventory, and you know, I believe that Holy Spirit would rather you did that to make it really, really personal. But do you want to be absolutely ready when he comes? And Paul gives us instructions. You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Paul did these things. Amen? He's the one that wrote about the armor. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And those are some good words, man, to look up and to identify what exactly what do they mean. This is a short list. A longer list is over in... You keep your finger there and look over in Galatians chapter 5, where he talks about how we ought to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, over here. That's 4. Here's 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That's just gross sensuality. Sexuality. Amen? Lewd sexual stuff. envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I have told you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This list over in Romans chapter 13 is a short list of the list we just see over here in Galatians chapter 5. And Paul, in essence, has said, listen, don't walk in the flesh. Because if you do, then you're going to produce the works of the flesh. But instead, walk in the Spirit. Then he goes on in verse 14. And he says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on the armor of light, or the armor of God. Don't walk in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. If you want to be ready, absolutely ready when the Lord comes back. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that the armor of God, although it's pictured as being physical, it emphasizes at least two great spiritual truths. The characteristics of the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Having your loins girt about with truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Jesus is our peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Put on the helmet of salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The only way you can get saved is in the name of Jesus. Neither is there salvation any other. But the only way you can get saved is through Christ. His name is Jehovah Saves. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Jesus is the living word. The word that became flesh. So as you look at the armor, it pictures the characteristics of Jesus Christ. It also pictures the characteristics of the word, the written word of God. How do you put on the armor? You put on the armor of God by putting on the characteristics of Jesus Christ, by being obedient to the living word of God. That's the armor. And Paul emphasizes that in this whole concept of, you know, the things that we need to do to be ready when Jesus, because time is short. He's coming back soon. Our salvation is nearer now than what we first believed. It's time. It's time to take inventory. How well am I doing, Lord? And knowing that, knowing the time, that now is high time. It's about time. It's time to wake up out of sleep. Why? I'm glad you asked. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. If it was near 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this, how much nearer is it than now? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day of his return is at hand. Let us therefore, because of that, let us cast off the works of darkness. Don't play with sin. Stop. Can I say this? We're adults here. Some of you don't understand this, but Edie knows this song. Slipping into darkness. Pretty soon you're going to what? Pay. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you'd go, cost you more than you ever thought you'd have to pay, and keep you longer than you'd ever want to stay. Sin will blind you. It will stunt your spiritual growth. Don't entertain it. Don't watch it. Don't play with it. Don't let it cleave to you. Stay away from it. Cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the armor of God. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Buying back the time, making full use of God's time. You're going to have to give inventory and how would we spend our time? And it doesn't mention here the three resources that God gives us is our time, our talents or our gifts, and we have to give inventory on that, and our treasures, the money that he gives us. He wants us to invest all of these into his kingdom. That's when we get a full reward. That's when we start earning those crowns. We say, well, it's too late for me because the Lord's coming back soon, and I've wasted a lot of that stuff. Let me remind you of a theme that you had here years ago, and I still preach on this. It's called begin finishing what? Begin finishing well. Start today. Make up your mind today. We gave a couple examples. I remember when I preached this series of messages here, when Yvonne was, she had her stroke back in September 2013. And your pastor asked me to come and preach a series of messages that December. And I dragged Yvonne from the hospital to here in that piece of car that we had no heat in it in the dead of winter. Vic thought I was nuts, and he was right. But the point is, I learned a lesson that I still pray this, and I want to begin finishing well right now before the Lord comes back, because you don't know that. Let me give you an illustration real quick, and I'm done. We illustrated how Enoch and how Samuel, two of many of Old Testament saints that made it to God's Faith Hall of Fame, they didn't start well, but they ended well. Enoch, he didn't start calling on the name of the Lord until after he had Methuselah. That's when he began to call on the name of the Lord. And he got so close to the Lord. You talk about abiding in him. That's what he did. And God was so impressed with his relationship with him that he didn't even make way for Enoch to die. He just took him. Didn't he? Boy, I would like that. I would like that to be my testimony. That God just took me. Why? Because I lived in light of the rapture. I lived if Jesus could come back any moment. I had a glimpse of what Paul was talking about. Paul came to a place where he began finishing well. You know when that was? When Paul made that declaration over in Philippians, when he said this, he said, brethren, I count myself not to be apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, listen, I'm going to strive to reach God's highest calling of Christ-likeness. And he reached it. You know how I can tell when he reached it? When he said this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Paul's explanation of what it means to abide. I'm living the exchange life. And I know your pastor talks about that a lot, because he taught me about it. Samson was another one. All of his life, he lived like a doggone reprobate. He was given over to the Lord at birth. He was a Nazarite, and there were certain restrictions that he was supposed to do, and he defied all of them. But the last day of his life, he prayed that God would restore his strength so that he can avenge his enemies. And he brought the house down, didn't he, when God strengthened him. And that one act, I believe it was that one act that made him that allowed him to qualify for God's Faith Hall of Fame. His name was mentioned there because he decided he was going to begin finishing well. I believe that's the testimony of all the Old Testament saints. At some point in their life, they decided we're going to begin finishing well. All right, Lord, I might not be there yet, but I'm taking inventory. I'm gonna do what you tell me to do, Paul. And you have a right to tell me. You said to follow me as I follow the Lord. And mark those who follow me and follow them too. I mean, there's people in this church that are following the Lord. Listen, you want to be ready when the Lord comes back? Follow them. Look at their lives. I'd marry up with somebody, and I'm not talking about getting physically married. I'm talking about in fellowship with somebody who is living in light of eternity as if God can come back any moment. Paul said, I am ready for my departure. I have fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, the Lord has laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not only for me, but for those who love his appearing, and he could come back at any moment. Paul thought he could come back 2,000 years ago. I hope you're not like one of the scoffers. Where's the promise of his coming? Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Let me say this about putting off and putting on. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you've had this study before, so I'm not gonna keep any longer by looking at the scriptures that speak to it. But Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3 talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. It's talking about putting on Christ's nature. Put off the garbage. Study that. Let me ask you now. We talked about two things, one thing, and we'll close with this thought. The one thing was awake. You need to awake. And the other thing is abide. And it speaks for itself, so I'm going to quote this, and John, you can close, and y'all can chase me out of town. Y'all can send chocolate thunder and brown sugar on their way. Because we're going to take inventory with each other. See, I want Yvonne to be ready when the Lord comes back, too. And John, I know you want your wife to be ready. And one of your responsibilities is to make sure you're doing all that you can. Oh, by the way, your wife really ministered to me in such a way that I'll never forget when you were out of town and she had me over to your house. That was special. And you ought to give her a hug for me, brother. And mama, grandma, and mama-in-law too, she wanted to talk, but I was tired. And that little dog, he just ornery. Turn with me here, and we're gonna close with this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Why? Good question. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you're not abiding in him, if you don't know what that means, you need to ask somebody. But I believe that you know. It means to be close enough to him to allow him to live his life through you. That's the only way you're going to accomplish anything to the glory of God. That's the only way you're going to be confident and unashamed when he returns. I rambled enough, brother. Come on, take this mic. soon and very soon. I got to take these steps gingerly because I remember I fell down two flights of, I mean, two